Open your Bibles to Matthew 6.
Come on, Chris. Preach it, baby. Preach the word, bro.
You know, it's amazing how God's Spirit works. And from the songs that were chosen, that I did not choose, to the message Chris and Alva brought, which, wow, that was awesome.
Yep.
And I can't wait to hear it in Spanish next week. But really, Chris preached many of the things that are in my notes to preach without us talking about it. That's okay. You know me. I've got three sermons as usual. And so I got plenty of stuff. But I think God's really trying to get across to us some very important things this morning. Matthew 6, verse 19.
Come on, Chris.
Light it up, Chris.
Title of the sermon is Treasure in Heaven.
Oh, come on.
It says here, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your hearts will be also. I believe what God cares about this morning is where our hearts are at. I believe on my heart God wants our hearts and our souls to be with Him now and forevermore. And yet He knows we live in a world where we have an enemy who's after our hearts. Satan wants to capture our hearts and get us to put our treasure in this world instead of treasure in heaven.
Right.
Read on with me. Verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness.
Wow.
What an intense scripture. You with me?
Yeah.
I've read this so many times, I go, man, that's intense. But what does it mean? Right? I mean, it's like, goodness gracious, it sounds very convicting. Then one day this question popped into my mind that made it all make sense. Let me ask you the question. What lights up your eyes? Is it the bling bling? Or is it hearing the angels sing? Are you with me here? Is your treasure in earth? Or is your treasure in heaven? If what lights you up and gives you light is just things that are going to be stolen or destroyed or rusted, then how great is the darkness inside of you? But if our light comes from heavenly things and spiritual treasures, treasure in heaven, then how great the light will be. Our eyes will be a lamp and all the world will see its light.
Amen.
Reading on.
Come on, Chris.
No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Yep. Amen.
Again, this theme connects to the two paragraphs we've already read. Where's your treasure? What lights up your eyes? What do you get your security from? What do you depend on?
Come on.
God or money?
Come on, bro.
Because the Bible says, and here my letters are in red, so I'm not that swooped, but I think that means Jesus said it. You cannot serve both God and money.
Right, bro.
I am convinced that many of us think we can.
Wow.
We think we can balance it.
Well,
we can keep it in good balance.
Come on, bro.
Not our heart.
Wow.
Jesus said, unless you give up everything you have, you cannot be my son.
Right.
If we allow for that greed Chris talked about, if we start putting our treasure in earthly things, we're in danger of losing our treasure that's in heaven. We can't serve God money. Well, we go, well, wait, we live in a world where you have to have money to get by. You have to worry about money. Well, you have to have money to get by to a certain extent. Yep, you're right. But God's going to take care of you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why the whole next section, if you read through it, says, therefore, what's the therefore? Because of what we just read. All this about put your treasure in heaven. Don't let your eyes get lit up by earthly treasures. And don't serve money.
Amen.
Serve God.
Amen.
But how do we do that? Well, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Because you go, but if I don't worry, if I don't worry about the money, I'm going to worry about the money. You with me?
Yeah.
No. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about what your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?
Wow.
You know what God's treasure is? His disciples.
Yeah.
Wow. Bible says His disciples are His treasured possession.
Hey,
we got some parents in here today.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
How do you want to take care of your little babies? You want to take care of them. You want to make sure they're okay. You want to make sure they get to school.
Yep.
You want to make sure and take care of them. That is your Father.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, but we got to make a decision. What am I going to serve? Let me just throw out a little point that really isn't in the sermon, but I'll get right back, I promise. Besides, Chris stole most of my sermon already.
Yeah.
I want you to look at what people are willing to do for the money.
Come on.
Talk about a lot, bro.
I remember having a quiet time on this a year or two ago in Syracuse and thinking, man, for money, we'll do a lot. We work how many hours a week?
Wow.
Why? For the money.
Yep. Yep.
Bible says you cannot serve both God and money. But man, people serve money.
Yeah, they do.
Yep. We think it's the answer. If I have money, it'll be okay. This is about getting our heart in the right place.
Come on.
Yep.
So many people make excuses about what they cannot do for God.
Yeah, that's right.
But for money, I think we do it. I've said a little cynically maybe, hey, I got a Bible study. I need some help. Can you be there? Well, I don't know. I'm pretty busy. Gee, what if you got a little commission, $50 per Bible study? Could you be there then?
Wow. Come on, bro. Talk about it, bro.
Could you squeeze in a few more Bible studies if you got a little ching?
Wow. Talk about it. Come on.
Could you drive a little farther?
Wow.
I don't want to offend anybody. I just want to convict you.
Come on, preach.
Amen.
Man, church is too far. Too much time, too many meetings. Look how far you go and how long you sit at work for the greed.
Yeah.
You can't serve God and money.
Come on, bro.
And I want you to meditate on that long and hard. And think about, are you giving God everything?
Come on, bro.
And would you do it for money? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a great passage here about heaven. About putting our treasure in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. I love this passage. It says here, now, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. An eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we're clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we're in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. And I believe that's a proclamation, but I also believe it's an admonition.
Amen.
Guys, don't start living by sight.
Yep.
Amen.
Not yet. We live by faith on this earth. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So, and here's the key to it all. We make it our goal to please Him. whether we're at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him or her for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now there's 10 pretty awesome verses right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 10 is one of the most written about and researched passages in all of Paul's writings. And for good reason. Paul is taking on the topic of the Christian's hope beyond the grave. How about that? What happens to the believer at the point of death? In our culture, you know, Chris talked about it earlier, we are really afraid of talking about death. Chris mentioned that, right? We don't like to talk about it. In fact, I mentioned it last week, and I talked a little bit about death, and it has to do with cancer. And one of my dear sisters said, "Oh, Chris, when you said that, I just couldn't even focus on the lesson anymore because it struck home with her." Brings a lot of pain. It always makes me think, doggone it, what if Adam should have just not sinned? Then the penalty of death wouldn't have come. Look at all the pain we have because of death. But that's where we are. We don't like to talk about it. The thing is, though, there is a 100% mortality rate in this room.
Yep, right. Yep.
We're all going to die, unless, as Jay Shobrat corrected me this morning, the Lord comes back right now. Not yet. We'll keep you posted. But we're all going to die, but we don't like to talk about it. Let me convince you. If you're afraid of fire at your home, what do you get?
Fire insurance.
Fire insurance. If you're afraid of theft, what do you get?
Theft insurance.
If you're afraid of death, what do you get? Death insurance? No, we don't even want to say the word. So we're afraid we're going to die, so we get life insurance. It's because the people can live on. Yeah. We don't want to talk about death. Who would read Death Magazine outside of a few teenagers? Amen. We want life. Right? We want life.
Yeah, we do.
Magazine.
Yeah, we do.
It's the way we're wired that way. When people die, what do we say? They passed away. They went on to a better place. Well, did they? I'll never forget one of the most convicting things for me after 9/11. Watching the news, and there was a man who had lost his brother. He was grieving. He looked in the camera and said something that, as a Christian, I know is totally not true. He said, "I know my brother didn't talk to God a day in his life, but he's with him right now." Because that's what we want to believe. We want to believe everybody's going to go to a better place. Point number one.
Come on, bro. Come on, man.
This world is not my home.
Amen.
It's a song we sing.
Come on, Chris.
We're just passing through.
Just passing through.
If heaven's not my home, Lord, what will I do? I tell you what you do. You get caught up in this world and get sucked away from God.
Yeah, right.
We've got to keep remembering, put our treasure in heaven. So therefore, this world is not my home.
Come on, bro.
In Paul's day and age, they had the same, you know, fears to face about death. In fact, many of them would just say the old maxim, which is quoted in 1 Corinthians 15:32, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die."
Yep.
People would say, "Hey, yeah, have a good time, because we're going to die."
Yep. Come on.
Paul, however, puts forward a different expectation for the Christian. In this verse we just read, 2 Corinthians 5, there is a certainty of physical resurrection and transformation, verse 1 to 5. How about that, guys? There is a confidence that death only begins a journey in the realm of sight, verse 6 and 7. See, when you die, you don't have to live by faith anymore. By sight. Oh, yeah, no, by faith anymore. Because you'll have sight.
Yeah.
You'll see it. My dear friend Steve Johnson preached a sermon once that heaven is the faithless place. When you get there, you don't need faith. Heaven's a hopeless place. Because when you get there, you don't need hope. You'll have everything.
Amen.
That's why these three main, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love, because love will even go on in heaven. Amen?
Come on, bro. Come on, Chris.
And lastly, the assurance in the scripture is that death places us in the very presence of Christ. So why is death bad? Because this is all we know right now, by sight. But this world is not my home. Chris referred to the tent. You know, I find it amazing in this passage. We always try to give an illustration, as did Jesus, a parable, a little earthly story that will help you understand a spiritual truth. In this passage, earth is compared to being naked in a tent. And heaven is compared to being fully clothed in a building built by God. So what would you like to choose? Being naked in a tent?
Not today.
Or fully clothed in a building that God Himself created.
Wow.
That's the difference. Yep. But do we see it that way? Do we go heaven, earth, or do we go, I want a little treasure here, a little treasure there. Serve a little God, serve a little money. You with me? This world is not my home. And Paul knew what he was saying when he said tent, because he was a tent maker, remember?
Yeah.
He knew. Little weather, little wind, that tent's gone. It's out of here. But even when our tent goes, we get to be with God.
That's right.
This world is not my home.
Right.
Guys, this life is not all there is. I too was going to refer to Maria's play, just the whole dress rehearsal idea. But here's some other ideas about earth and about heaven. Earth is the practice workout before the actual game. It's the warm-up before the big race. How many years are you going to have on earth? Maybe, if you're really, really lucky, 100. I mean, if you're really, you know, lucky by the world fairs, 100 years. But what about eternity? That's like longer than 100.
Yeah.
You with me?
I'm with you, bro.
I had a thought the other day talking to a brother, and I gave him this comparison because he was having a real hard time with his life right now. He was really sincerely hurting over where his life is. And I was trying to help him understand these things. I said, okay, you've lived how many years? He's in the 20s. Some good, some bad, some ugly, right? Yeah? Okay. Would you trade that all away to go back and have 9 months again in the womb? If you had to choose, would you choose the 9 months you existed in the womb or the 22 years, good, bad, and ugly, that you've had here? Well, I'd choose 22 years, good, bad, and ugly. I think that's a little like heaven and earth. Once you're in heaven for 1,000 years, and there won't be the ugly and the bad. Would you choose to go back in the womb of this earth?
Wow.
No.
Wow.
In fact, this morning, they're like, do you even remember the womb? You know, one sister said, I don't know, it sounds pretty good. Floating around, comfortable, you know.
Come on, Brett.
Like, you really remember that? Okay. This world is not my home.
Right.
Thomas Brown said, your time on earth is but a small parenthesis in eternity.
Yep.
Guys, we're made to last forever.
Yeah, amen.
We're going to spend a lot more time on the other side.
Amen.
David, in Psalm 39:4, prayed this prayer. You may need to pray this prayer. Show me, O Lord, my life's end, and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You may need to pray that prayer when you get caught up putting your treasure on earth. Lord, show me the number of my days. Oh, but that means bringing death back. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. Except the Christian sees that as precious.
Yep. Yeah.
The Bible says how precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints.
Yep.
It's very different. James 4 says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. These are all the images we're given of this life. But to us right now, it feels a lot longer than a mist, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
a little thing for you. I like right guard. Right guard. Check this out. There went your life.
Wow. Smells good, bro.
Well.
Really. This is the image God, through His Spirit, through His Word, wants you to have. Okay? Where are you putting your treasure? Heaven or the earth right now? Here it is one time. There it went. There it went.
It's gone.
Where'd it go? Do you get it here, guys?
Yeah.
Where are you going to put your treasure in that? That's what we're doing.
Wow.
When we store up treasure here and not for eternity.
Amen.
Look at 1 Peter chapter 1.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Bring the heat, bro.
Woo! Just take you through a little scriptures here. 1 Peter
bro.
Chapter 1.
Come on, Chris.
Verse 17.
All right, bro. Lay it out, bro.
Let me talk to the Christians.
Man, bro.
Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. What are we supposed to think of ourselves on earth? Strangers. Why live in reverent fear? Look at James 4. James chapter 4, verse 4.
Come on,
flip those Bibles. You're smelling the right guard, huh? Yeah. James 4:4. Let me read it to you. You adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to become just a friend, guys, of the world becomes an enemy of God. That's why we live as strangers in reverent fear.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Because we have an enemy that wants us to get really friendly with the world.
Yep.
And the Bible says when you become a friend of the world, you cannot serve both God and money.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
We become an enemy of God. We don't want that, do we? Philippians 3, verse 18. Philippians 3, 18. 4. As I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears. Look at Paul here, guys. Many live as enemies to the cross of Christ. Now, how do you defy enemies of the cross of Christ? We just read in James 4:4, it's just someone who's even a little friendly with the world.
Wow.
Guys, we got to get this. We say, oh man, I'm not an enemy of the cross. If we're friends with the world, we are. We think we can serve both. I promise you. Some of you think you can serve both.
Yeah.
You need to decide. Because the only thing in the middle of the road are yellow stripes and dead armadillos. You with me here?
Yep, we're with you, bro.
Come on, bro.
You stand in the middle, you're going to get hit by cars going both ways.
Yep.
You cannot serve both God and money.
Come on, bro.
Verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. They're just living for themselves. Their mind is on earthly things. Is your mind on earthly things? Whenever it is, we got to go, no. I'm taking that captive. I don't want to be a friend of the world. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I want to serve God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Amen.
It says, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, because this world is not my home.
Yes.
My citizenship's in heaven. You know, it's like when people come from another country and they're in America, but their citizenship is not here. They don't have certain rights. I was reaching out to a man just the other day. He's here. In his country, he's a mechanical engineer. Here, he's a waiter. That's hard, man.
Yep.
When people come and they got, if they want to live here, man, they got to go through a bunch of different hoops to get the same certification here.
Yep.
It can be very hard. Guys, that's why our life here is hard.
Yeah.
We're not from here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Our citizenship is in heaven, not earth.
Come on, bro.
Because this world is not my home. First Peter 2.
Come on, Lord.
First Peter 2:11. Dear friends, I urge you, look at this, as aliens and strangers in the world, this is what we are to be.
Amen.
Abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Guys, in the Western world, we are so catered to. Oh, we got everything on a platter for us. Entertainment, at a click. I mean, we're all about getting entertained, aren't we?
Yeah.
Having a good time. Sports, plays, movies. I'm not even talking about the bad stuff. Just stuff.
Hmm.
We believe, because we're from America, that our purpose here is the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
That's what... Is it the Bill of Rights? I think that's
yeah,
no. Something. Am I smarter than a fifth grader? I don't know. I told you I've been watching some TV. Amen. All right. You know what? But our goal is not the pursuit of happiness. That's not why we're in America.
Right.
All right, it's not the American dream. It's God's dream. We're here for the pursuit of God and to put our treasure in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
I think of 2 Corinthians 5, a little further down, where it talks about God is making His appeal to the world through us. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors.
Come on, bro.
We implore people, be reconciled to God. So, imagine an ambassador who is from one country sent to another country. Follow the example, that's us. Amen.
Yep, amen.
But they get to that other country and they start to be an emissary in that country, representing the country they're from. But after being there a while, they start to really like that new country. Kind of like the way it works and get enamored with it. They begin to like it more than the country they're from. Maybe they're seduced to no longer really be an ambassador for that country, but to be a traitor to it.
Yep.
We're on earth to be an ambassador. Satan wants to seduce us into being a traitor and an enemy of the cross. He won't do it by making us a murderer or a rapist necessarily. Just a friend of the world.
Yeah.
To have our mind on earthly things.
Come on.
Instead of to be crucified with Christ and let Him live through us.
Yeah. Come on,
bro. On this earth.
It's true.
I believe one of the reasons why we're in so much pain here is because this is not the end of the story. Point number two. The end of life is not the end of life.
Good motto, bro.
It's not it. We're not completely happy here because we're not supposed to be completely happy here. How does a fish do on land? Fish really dig in land walking?
Nope.
That's why we're not happy here, guys. We're not in the environment we're meant to be in.
There we go, bro. That's what it is.
How does an eagle do when it's not allowed to fly? Is it cranking? And we'll never really fly on this earth, guys.
Yep.
We're not meant for here.
Come on.
Come on.
The end of life is not the end of life.
Amen.
C.S. Lewis.
Come on, bro.
It's a great quote by C.S. Lewis. All that is not eternal is eternally useless. How about that? Is that the way you view the world? Hey, this may be a fleeting happy time, a happy moment. But I'm not going to just be super happy here. That's not what I'm here for.
Yep, that's right.
I'll have happy moments. But really, eternally, this is useless. And it makes us want to put our time into things that eternally matter.
Yeah, it does.
Cool, right?
Bro. This is awesome.
I heard it once said, and a minister friend of mine said, everything in the world is STBA. Scheduled to burn anyway.
Yeah.
But do you view it that way? It's scheduled to burn. Moth's going to eat it. Rust's going to kill it. Thieves going to steal it. It's going to burn.
Yep.
Even these tent-like bodies, they're going to go.
Yep.
All that will be left at the end in eternity is your soul and my soul and that eternal choice.
Amen. Come on, bro.
With God or without.
Amen.
Everything else is eternally useless.
Right, yep.
It may have use here for some extent. For some, our bodies are useful for a little while. They're breaking down. Mine is, but you know. But eternally, what is useful? A lot of these ideas were inspired in me, and I don't know, maybe in Chris, by a book called "Purpose Driven Life" by Rick Warren. And it's a certain chapter called "Life is a Temporary Assignment." And there's a lot of good thoughts. Now, like any book, you got to read it. The Bible's the only perfect book. There's some good thoughts there. And Rick Warren says this. I like this. It is a fatal mistake to assume that God's goal for your life is material prosperity.
Yep.
But many churches preach a prosperity gospel.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yep. It's a fatal mistake to think that's why we're here. Or to think we're here for popular success, as the world defines it. And here's another thought. Faithfulness to God does not guarantee success in a career or even in the ministry.
Yeah, it's true, bro.
You know, a lot of people get baptized, and they think everything's just going to be perfect. We try to tell them, no, it's going to be a battle. When you get baptized, it's like at the post office. The wanted men, Satan puts you on his most wanted list. You escaped his kingdom, and he wants you back.
Yep.
Bounty on your head.
Yep.
But a lot of times we think, oh, no, I got baptized. When is that check coming in the mail straight from God to pay all my bills? Because my dad's going to take care of me. And maybe that's what dad means. We called dad and went, Dad, I got another bill. Could you sit up? Thank you. You with me, guys?
Yeah.
Never focus on temporary crowns. Paul was faithful, ended up in jail. John the Baptist was faithful, got beheaded. Many a faithful person has been martyred and have lost everything or come to the end of their life with nothing to show for it. With earthly treasure. But eternal treasure. That's what we're after.
That's right.
Treasure in heaven.
Come on, bro.
The end of life is not the end of life. I've heard a story of a missionary who was coming home from a foreign country. He was serving, preaching the gospel. And he happened to be coming home on the same boat, must have been a while ago, as the President of the United States. Long time. And, when they got into the home port, all the red carpet got rolled out. The bands were playing. The president was getting the welcome. Oh my goodness. And the missionary didn't get nothing. He just walked off the boat.
Wow.
And in the story, he's tempted to get a little resentful a bit. Till the spirit reminded him, you're not home yet. Wait till you see the welcome you're going to get, baby. On the heavenly shores. Are you guys with me? The end of life is not the end of life. We're not going to be in heaven 2 seconds before we cry out, why did I place so much importance on temporary things? Why did I waste so much time, energy, and concern with what wasn't going to last?
Come on.
Wow.
Heaven is designed in such a way that no one's going to make it to heaven, get there, and go, wow, this is awesome. How did I get here?
That's true. Talk about it, bro.
No, it's not designed in that way.
That's right.
God designed it where if you're going to get there, you got to know where it is. And you got to put your treasure there, and you got to get there.
Amen.
Yeah. Come on.
So many live just off on their life, thinking they're going to pass on and go to a better place. That's a lie, isn't it, guys?
Yeah,
come on, bro.
We got to get the truth out there. Let me show you one last scripture. Turn to Hebrews 12.
Come on.
No, Hebrews 2. It's a typo, but luckily I know my Bible better than that. It's Hebrews 2.
This is great, bro.
Amen. Now if I can just find Hebrews. Okay, got it. Amen. The fan technique worked. Okay. Hebrews 2. All right. I got my degree from Texas UNO. Unschooled and ordinary. Amen. In verse 14, there's an awesome passage. I remember the quiet time here moved my heart.
Come on, bro.
Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, talking about Jesus, so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, That is the devil. And look at this. Free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So many live in fear, fear of death.
So many.
The unknown. But Jesus died so we wouldn't. He doesn't want us fearing death. Absolutely not. He died so we wouldn't have to. And He came and in the flesh, shared in our humanity, tempted in every way as we are, so we couldn't go, you know how it feels, God. He does know how it feels. But He came down and He kept His mind on heavenly things. Mm-hmm. And He set a path for us. This world is not His home. And the end of life is not the end of life.
Yep.
There's something called resurrection.
Yep.
Come on, bro.
Slavery.
Come on, Chris.
By their fear of death. Mm-hmm. February is still up here. Black History Month. Every year. So we can remember and learn from American history. Amen?
Amen.
And I've been doing some homework with my daughter.
Amen.
7 years old. I get to go to school again. Amen? And we're learning about slavery. And she's doing some projects. And you know, the Bible uses the word slavery. Of course, it didn't mean for blacks. It meant for many peoples that lived in slavery. And God's people that lived in slavery. Of course, in our American history, that's the slavery we've seen. But He says we're enslaved to sin. We're enslaved to the worldly passions. Don't let it. It'll keep you from having treasure in heaven. And so there's such an analogy of being freed from slavery and being freed from the slavery of ourselves. Living for ourselves.
Yep.
Doing what we want. Isn't that what leads to things like slavery anyway? People thinking, I'm better, I'm going to do for me. You be my slave. Right?
Yeah.
Fear paralyzes us. We need to stop fearing death. And start fearing a comfortable life on earth.
Yep.
Come on, bro.
Come on. That's true.
I've always heard it said the prophets came to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable.
Wow. There you go.
We are not meant to be comfortable here on earth.
There you go.
You get too comfortable, become a friend of the world, become an enemy of God. We've already talked about that. If I can remind you of the scripture we read earlier, therefore, we are always confident. And know that as long as we're at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Does that scripture mean more after the sermon? If you're at home, comfortable in your skin, in earth, you're far from God. We're not meant to be. We're meant to not be. Next scripture, we live by faith, not by sight. That's my call today. We've got to live by faith.
Amen.
And not by sight.
Come on, Chris.
We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body. That means out of this bodily tomb and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him. You please God. Don't please me or any other man. You please God and you'll please the right people.
Yeah, come on.
That's right.
Whether we're at home in the body or away from it, because we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Today in Syracuse, a woman's getting restored. Dayami. From Syracuse, many of us love her. She called yesterday and she needed to talk to me about some things before she got restored. She took some time just with tears to share about Teresa. And how when she had moved to Syracuse and she needed so much help, and without even asking Teresa would just show up with groceries. Or show up to help at different times. Even we remember the time she wasn't there and her husband Tony was there when she showed up. It was a funny little exchange, but amen. She remembered what she brought her. Well, Tony was baptized in the harvest last month.
Amen.
And today, the army is being restored.
Amen. That's awesome.
Last week, Bob was restored.
Yeah, come on, Bob.
That was awesome. We've seen Laura restored. And as Bob prayed a prayer, and then Jay called, a year ago, just about this next weekend, we came for a retreat.
Yeah.
And another man had been praying. And as soon as he prayed, Roger emailed. And Dave Cadell was pretty much instantaneously restored.
Amen.
It's awesome to see people baptized.
That's right.
But it's just as awesome to see people who have drifted away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Hebrews 2:1 says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so that we do not drift away. The world tries to drift us away. In all these cases, it was the world that drifted people away. But then, Galatians 6 says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch out so that you are not tempted. In restoring people, sometimes we got to get over my sin, and just talking about it makes me struggle. And I got to get open when those thoughts of earth and things get in my mind. But restoration is a beautiful thing.
It is. Yeah.
To see people come back to God and again realize this world is not my home.
Yeah.
The end of life is not the end of life. Yeah. And put their treasure in heaven.
Yeah.
In closing, I want to tell you about two people I just learned about from my 7-year-old daughter's homework.
Come on.
In honor of Black History Month. You know, in the early 1800s, the country began to split in two over whether slavery should be allowed or not. That was the topic. The Underground Railroad was a secret cooperative network that aided fugitive slaves in reaching sanctuary in the free states or in Canada in the years before the abolition of slavery in the United States. Thomas Garrett. You ever heard of him?
No.
Thomas Garrett was a famous abolitionist against slavery. In 1848, he was found guilty of aiding slaves. Still, after losing almost everything, this is a quote he's remembered for. Friend, I haven't a dollar in the world, because he lost everything as punishment. But if thee knows a fugitive who needs a breakfast, send him to me. On March 30, 1870, when the 15th Amendment became law, blacks in Wilmington, Delaware carried Garrett through the streets praising him. He had helped over 2,700 slaves become free.
Wow.
When he died, over 1,500 people came to his funeral.
Wow.
We dedicate our lives to helping people be freed from sin.
Yep. Wow.
And the slavery of this world.
Yeah.
Put their hope in heaven. Yeah. Let me tell you, people will be at your funeral, but when you land in heaven, they'll be there saying, thank you. You helped me learn about this place.
Yeah.
You helped me set my heart on this place, put my treasure in heaven, and now we'll be together for eternity.
Amen.
Samuel Burris was a free black. Born in Delaware. In 1845, he started helping slaves who were fleeing Delaware and Maryland. He was once caught helping escaping slaves and was found guilty and sentenced to be sold into slavery himself. Luckily, a member of an anti-slavery group pretended to be a slave trader and outbid everybody else. Freed him and let him head on back to Pennsylvania. When the Civil War was over, Burris raised money to aid free blacks.
Come on.
I believe when our lives are over and Satan wants to throw us into slavery forever, Jesus will, in fact already has, outbid everybody else.
Amen.
He paid the price. We were bought at a price with His blood. And He's not going to set us free into Pennsylvania, amen, but into heaven.
Amen.
Gosh, this world is not our home. We got to put our treasure in heaven. And just as Burris raised money to aid free blacks, that's why we have special missions contribution. Because we believe that we need to not only become self-supporting as a church, but we need to hire some of these young men and women and maybe even a few older ones to be full-time in the ministry so we can plant church after church after church that will aid in freeing people from the slavery to this world. Put your treasure in heaven, and to God be the glory.
Amen.